Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 28th of July, recording at 9:22 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quite steady, not least the Hang Seng Index, up 1.84%. China a little higher as well. Been hitting new highs on a practically daily basis. European stock markets, however, caught some profit-taking today. The one exception I see on the main European indices was the Spanish IBEX, which rose. Wall Street, the European markets weakened because Wall Street was soft earlier in the day, but it staged a pretty good recovery. Wiping out most of the gain, the losses rather, and actually the Nasdaq closed with a gain, so quite a decent turnaround. Elsewhere, long dated government bond prices were a little bit firmer here today. No drama. The U.S. dollar reversed early weakness to close with a modest gain, taking the U.S. dollar index back up to 78. And the euro, for instance, currently at 141.65. It had been up as high as 143.04. The Aussie and New Zealand currencies are a bit firmer here today, however. And the biggest action, I think, today was that the precious metals were clipped. Silver fell back fairly sharply before pairing the declines, fell back to 1358 on the September contract, to my dismay, although it shouldn't be that surprising since it had been rising steadily from the low $12 region up to over 14 yesterday and today, but currently down 26.5 cents. Gold clipped, downward dynamic here today, with bullion falling back to 937.35 as I speak. Platinum also back down to 1202. And crude oil a bit easier, kept its recent strength, currently at 67.17. And most the industrial metals also reversed earlier gains here today. Going against this trend, soybeans were firmer, and I believe wheat was as well. Okay, so what's going on here overall? As far as the stock markets are concerned, it has been an impressive run, as you know. Short-term indicators are a little bit overbought following, what has it been, 10 days or so on the upside, more for some of these markets. And those are good moves. Those moves included some base formation completions, certainly upside breakouts above the May-June highs for some of the lagging OECD stock markets. Now, and that group, let's just stay with that group for a while, and that of course includes Wall Street. Those markets, by ranging during that largely that May-June and early July period, and then breaking up out of those ranges, that enabled them to establish higher reaction lows, a higher reaction low, and also a higher high. That's something we hadn't seen since the March low. You'll recall, of course, and you can see this on the charts anytime, is that we had those very good type 2 extreme reactions against the trend if you've attended the chart seminar. Big rallies off those March lows, and then they slowed down, kind of lost upward momentum, and Owen and I often made the point that we hadn't actually seen the establishment of, or I put it this way, or confirmation of an overall upward trend, and we have some more evidence, and we still don't have full confirmation. That's when the indices break above the 200-day moving averages, which also turn upwards. Now, that has happened on the leading stock markets, particularly Fuller Money Themes. China is a classic example. And it will happen on more of these over the next few weeks, I believe, as those moving averages move higher. But the point is, given that May-June reaction phase, we now have not only a higher low and a higher high following the additional rally, but we also can regard that May-June period as a bit of support beneath current levels. So even if we were to pull back, and even if markets have the jitters as we pass the anniversary months of the worst part of last year's meltdown, that's really most of it was in September and October. And it wouldn't be surprising if investors were nervous during that period. But even if that happens, provided markets don't break below the early July reaction lows, it's any setback would be unlikely to hold up the upward trends for very long. So what I'm saying is, to indicate technical deterioration suggesting a more lengthy base formation extension phase, I think we would have to see closes beneath those early July reaction lows. Now, I don't expect that, but I won't be overconfident about them holding, as to say, while we're going through the anniversary months of the worst part of last year's decline overall. Either way, though, I think that stock markets are likely to be stronger by year end. I also feel and maintain, really, that this is a bull market, which began with the beginning of the bottoming out process in October. And that was also the beginning of the recovery for the leaders, mainly fuller money themes, and the laggards have been improving subsequently. Okay, now, what about these long-dated government bonds? I'm personally mainly interested in those in as canaries in the coal mine here of inflationary expectations. As long as long-dated government bond yields stay relatively low, then no problem here in terms of those inflationary expectations. But at some point, we will see another significant rise in those long-dated government bond yields. Why? Because they are historically low, and also because we have a vast quantity of supply of those long-dated government bonds, and because I believe also that the combination of all the fiat money creation, all the quantitative easing that we have actually seen, plus the inevitability of an economic recovery at some point, and I think it's already started clearly in the fuller money themes, resources markets, Asian emerging markets led by China, India participating, that the combination of the economic recovery, slow though it may be in the OECD countries, and all that massive supply of bonds and all the quantitative easing that we've seen, fiat money creation, will cause some inflationary pressures. Now, where will we see those inflationary pressures? Mainly in commodities and in global stock markets, certainly in the earlier stages. Although in some of the faster growing emerging market economies, again, China, for instance, we may well see some property price inflation. I don't expect to see much of that in the OECD countries. But when we do get long-dated government bond yields pushing higher, and governments will try to prevent that from happening for a while. Certainly, the Fed will be attempting to keep them in check. But when they do push higher, governments are going to start to worry. Central bankers are going to start to worry. When they see clear evidence of economic recovery plus some inflationary pressures building up, then stock markets will be moving into more dangerous territory. The meltdown in corporate profits, well, that's history for most companies that have survived to this stage. What's of a greater concern to me in terms of what I'm saying, and saying that that's history, is that we've seen corporate profits begin to improve, and that's due to cost cutting and some resumption of economic growth in some areas. So it's really when the monetary policy becomes less accommodative that we will have to worry seriously about stock markets. Now, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but you will notice. You get 2 weeks on the upside for commodity prices and a bullion stock markets, and then a few central bank governors around the world pop up and say, inflation may come back sooner than most people expect, or we may need to rein in money supply sooner than most people are expecting. And that's natural. It's sort of a knee-jerk response. And then, of course, if stock markets slide, as they did in June and the beginning of July, then you get a number of, and commodity prices as well, then you get a number of central bankers coming out and saying, oh, no, we're not going to raise interest rates anytime soon. That's all part of the fun and games that that goes on in here. But bottom line, assume that we have bull markets in equities still, but watch out for some psychological reactions as we go through the anniversary of last year's meltdown. Watch long-dated government bond yields, because when rises in that sector are next making financial headlines, that will be a warning signal. It will also be an opportunity. One will want to be short long-dated government bonds at that time. And elsewhere, the U.S. dollar, is it going to get a little bit of a bounce here? Well, it's I would expect some steadying near range lows for the dollar. But the patterns suggest to me that we will see a softer dollar in the weeks ahead. The only thing that I think might disrupt that pattern, or delay it, I think really, would be if we do get a bout of stock market jitters over the next few months. But in the short term, the dollar looks a wee bit oversold and may steady slightly. I covered my Norwegian crown short. I beg your pardon, my Norwegian crown long. I was short the US dollar against the Norwegian crown. And the dollar had fallen back down to its June low, where maybe some steadying might occur, and so I decided to cover that in here today. I didn't know this morning that I was going to do that, but I saw it testing that level where some support might be encountered, and I saw the oil price down a bit, and the good oil price rally had helped to firm the Norwegian crown, which Norway is, of course, a major oil exporter. And I also saw the softer tone in stock markets, although Wall Street largely reversed that, as I mentioned. I will reshort it again if it has an orderly little rally that doesn't affect the overall downward bias for the dollar against the a Norwegian crown. And precious metals. I'm surprised by today's downward dynamic in gold, but we'd seen a fairly good bounce in the precious metal. This is still a period of generally underperformance by precious metals. I would expect them to be mostly sort of ranging, but ranging maybe with a slight upward bias at this stage. That's what we have so far. I'll be a bit concerned if oil, if gold rather goes below the $900. That would not be hugely significant technically, but it would take out that last little reaction low. It would raise an eyebrow or two, certainly for this for this commentator. But overall, I suspect the odds do favor another upward move in the fourth quarter of the year, and that may start in September, as it has in the last two occasions following lengthy consolidations of approximately 18 months. And I think that's pretty much it. Industrial metals, which weakened a bit today, they'd all hit new highs, new recovery highs recently, or most of them had hit new recovery highs recently, and they'd all bounced quite strongly along with stock markets recently. If they pull back, I'll be looking to nibble again. Meanwhile, I'm off for the next 3 days to absorb a feast of Wagner's Ring Cycle. My wife is daunted by this. Over 20 hours of Wagner within the space of 96 hours. Fantastic. I look forward to it. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you. I'll be back on Monday.